Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading for this celebration of the birth of Christ is recorded for us in the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We hear the words of St. Luke, the 2nd chapter, the birth of Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And the Christmas gospel continues. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The congregation to stand for the conclusion of the Christmas gospel. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Well, technically, happy last day of Advent. Tomorrow's Christmas, but who's counting? I have a small favor to ask you all here today. I ask you all to lean back in your pews, close your eyes, and listen. Don't fall asleep, please. But it helps with what this sermon's getting at. So we've been following through and talking about Christ coming to the world, Christ coming as bread, rock, and salt. Here we're looking now as Christ comes as child to be laid in a manger for the first time. So sit back, close your eyes, and listen. On this quiet and most holy of nights, we begin the sermon in the name of the long-awaited Messiah, the Holy Child of Bethlehem, the offspring of the Virgin Mary, the light of our world, our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, imagine that. Adam and Eve are created in the image of God. They have it all. Perfect bodies, perfect minds, place to live. No sickness, no hurt, no body or mind. No conflict. No worries, no war. And no regarding if their meal is going to be where their meal is coming from next. No abuse of any sort is to be found. Self-inflicted or otherwise. Best of all, they were in perfect harmony with each other and especially with God. Imagine that. Adam and Eve, in their foolishness, traded all that good, all that perfection, all that pure joy and contentment that they had been given. They traded it all for a lie. They bought into Satan's promise that they could be like God. In essence, if you will, they could become God themselves. They need only do one thing that God had forbidden them to do. To eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, goodness. I know I'm terrifying. I get it. I'll save that joke for another time. It's not appropriate for now. But yet, God forbade them to eat of this fruit. And what do? They rebelled. They partake of it. And of course, you know what happened next? They fell into sin. And they lost everything that they had been handed on a silver platter. Their wonderful lives, that perfect place, that perfect honor, that perfect unadulterated joy and contentment, that perfect harmony with God is gone. Everything that they have been given has been taken away. Imagine that. But yet, as the story continues, as Moses writes, in the cool of the day, as God was walking through the garden, calling upon them, searching for Adam and Eve, after they had broken faith with him, after they had fallen into temptation, pathetically on their own, they try to undo the horror that they unleashed into this world. They try to hide their nakedness of sin. They even try to hide themselves from God of all people. But rather than kill them right there on the spot for their betrayal, for their rebellion, God promises something different. He gives them a hope of a Savior, a Redeemer, one that would come and make right what they had made wrong. This coming one, as he is called and referred to many times over, would restore everything, everything that they had thrown away by their willful sin. Imagine that. But now, over the millennia of centuries that have taken place, over the years that have passed since that day, the sons and daughters of both Adam and Eve have had to live with the consequences of their first parents. There's been sickness, war, frail bodies, abuse of all sorts. And you find it everywhere you look. You can't avoid it. Those descendants of theirs, every man, woman, and child, not only must live in this cesspool that they have created, but they also contribute to this cesspool quite often, eagerly and willingly. Imagine that. Yet God in his love and mercy does not abandon his children. He provides for their earthly needs, even giving them a promised land, a land to call their own until they're fully redeemed from their sin and free of this fallen world. Still, in the face of God's continued providence and provision of everything they need, his people find false gods and chase after them again and again from one generation to the next. See, although there's no real lasting peace, nor joy, or contentment to be found in material things, in money, our possessions, illicit activities, earthly power, or prestige, God's beloved children remain literally hell-bent on pursuing all of it, other than God. See, all these things rightly ought to give God even more cause to leave his people, more right to leave them alone to their own devices. I mean, shouldn't he leave these people so they can go merrily on their pig-headed way, down a path of self-destruction, away from him, away from the promises that he's given, away from his love? By the grace of God, he doesn't. He continues to have nothing but patience, letting them live in his grace, where they have precious time to repent and once again to walk with their Lord and Creator, as has been the case, as was always the design from the very beginning. Imagine that. Now, as St. Paul writes to Galatians in chapter 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. See, when the time was right, God remembered the promise that he made to Adam and Eve, to all their descendants. He sent his beloved one and only Son into the world to be born of the Virgin Mary. And although he was the Almighty, the true God from eternity and by large, the Creator, by and large, he set his majesty and dominion aside so he might live among his fallen, beloved children. The Divine One, God himself, chose to take on human flesh, be born in poverty, in a stinking stable of all places, and even more, a stinking world, rotting in sin. You see, that perfect world that he created was hardly recognizable anymore. For greed, corruption, jealousy, hate, self-centeredness has changed the very landscape. But he entered our world to rescue it, to rescue the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve from the very body of death that each one had become. Imagine that. This child of Mary, this babe of Bethlehem, this unique man who is both divine and human, grew to adulthood through word and deed. That is, through powerful preaching and mighty miracles, this child, this babe, brought the kingdom of God to this fallen earth. Jesus of Nazareth, as he was known to them, showed mercy and compassion to all who heard his preaching and looked upon him in faith. But he had the hardest condemnation for those who continued to reject him, those who thought they had no need of him, those who thought they could still hide from their sins, just like Adam and Eve in the garden. This Jesus willingly took on the task for which he had been born of Mary. On the night of his miraculous birth, Mary had pondered in her heart and try to imagine what all this meant for her child, for her, for this entire world. No doubt, again and again, throughout his life, she tried to imagine this, but as she came to the foot of that cross, her pondering was no more. For as she gazed upon him, suffering and dying for the sins of all the people of this world, drawing all people unto himself, she saw her Son, the Son of God, in all his glory, the long-promised Redeemer of this world, sent to make right what Adam and Eve had made wrong. See, Adam and Eve traded a perfect existence, a perfect harmony with their God, for a lie. But Jesus, this Christ child, whom we gather to worship tonight, to honor, traded his perfect self, his very life, for our freedom from sin and everlasting death in hell. Imagine that. God in a manger, God on a cross, God dying for all of you. It's hard to imagine all that, really. It's especially hard to imagine it when we consider our own conduct of our own lives, what our hands have engaged in doing, what words have come from our very mouth, and what thoughts we have dwelt upon. And you know these answers. And they're not always so noble, are they? But yet, by the grace of God, Christ came to be born on earth, came to earth at Christmas. And by doing so, he makes it all true. Because it is. It is all true. Can you imagine that? There's one more thing, dear Christians. This child of Mary, the Son of God, the very babe of Bethlehem, who is the Redeemer of our world, truly has restored the lost perfection and blessed harmony that Adam and Eve once had. Unfortunately, we don't see that fully here and now, not on this earth. But we have it in its hiddenness. See, God's relationship with us has been perfectly restored. Jesus' death fully and completely removing the sin that separated God from us. So now we can finally have God with us, perfectly loving us, perfectly caring for each one of us. And yes, already on this eve of Christmas. But our sin and the sin of the world means that we will not always see just how perfect his love it truly is. It means that we won't always see how much he cares. But one day, we will see it. It will be beyond our wildest imagination. In fact, by God's grace and in his love, we will have even better than our very first parents. See, Adam and Eve were in a paradise, but still on earth, where they were in Eden. We, when we have come to finish our time here on earth, we will live forever and ever in that radiant city of God. And you see, our precious Savior, who loves us, who came to save us, wants nothing more than to have us by his side. And once there, will be sealed in our bliss, never ever to leave his side, never to reject Eden ever again. Imagine that. So let us give thanks to our God, and may you all have a wonderful and blessed Christmas and a happy new year. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Jew.
God's blessings.